Welcome to Conservative Patriot Nation, new members and returning members. Tonight we have a very fantastic show and two fantastic guests. This story, when it came across my vision, I said, oh my goodness, I have to reach out to this family. I have to bring them on. As we look into our world, there's so much doom and gloom. There's so many terrible stories out there. And the good stories somehow to get they get passed on. And my intention, I would love to bring great stories like this. And so tonight, we're going to hear a very fantastic story. And before we start the show, I'd like to recognize several of our sponsors, Mike Lindell and MyPillow. Mike Lindell has been in the fight. He's been exposing so much. And tomorrow, we're going to be having another show talking about the wireless monitoring device, and hopefully we can get our elections fixed. And if you go to MyPillow.com and use promo code CPNN, you'll get up to 80% off your purchase. And last but not least, I'd like to recognize the late, great Dr. Zelenko. He left a lot of great products for us during a time where we didn't know what was going on. There was really not too much information coming out to the public. Dr. Zelenko didn't stop the fight. He went in there full force, even though forces were trying to stop him from helping people. It did not stop him. He had a very strong love for God, and he left us great gems. So if you go to zstacklife.com, you'll see all the gems he left us. And if you use promo code CPN, you'll get 5% off your purchase. And last but not least, I'd like to introduce Christy and Wesley. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
You know, like I was saying, as I started off, your story came across my vision, and I'm like, oh my goodness, because we don't, you know, especially with the media, we don't hear too many good stories like that, especially a story like yours. And I'm like, I have to bring you guys on. The world, you know, the world has probably many stories like yours, but they get overshadowed with the darkness. And yeah, it's an honor and a pleasure to have you guys join us.
Thank you so much. And I agree completely. You see, especially right now with what's going on, you rarely see any heartwarming stories. But I feel like even though sometimes I've lost hope in humanity, I have noticed that with sharing our story that a lot of people have been intrigued, because I think we just need a break from the chaos and to put some faith back in humanity a little bit.
Absolutely. I would like to hand the show over to you guys to tell your amazing story and your courageous act of humanity that you did. Please let the audience know, and I want to say thank you guys for your service. You both are vets. Christy and Wesley are both vets, and please share your story because it's simply amazing.
Sure, thank you. Well, just like any good viral story, it started with a TikTok. I created a TikTok a few months ago. I had kept most of it to just, you know, just kind of my everyday life with horses and kids. And so I was watching my husband put together a pool as our toddler was just bouncing around. And I thought to myself, if people knew our story, they would be really surprised by it. So my husband and I, we have been together for about 5 years. And when we blended our family, funny enough is when I first met him, I said, you know, I don't really want to get married because I had already been married before and I didn't want any more kids, that I would accept his kids, but let's just enjoy it. You know, we were both in our 40s and God had other plans and did a 180 on our life. And so, we created the story and it ended up going viral, getting over 1 million views on one video and over 1 million. So there's probably 2.5 million views combined on me sharing our story. And it still boggles my mind sometimes when I still find stories that are on the international platform. I mean, we've seen articles in Poland and Sweden and Germany. And I actually did a UK magazine that'll be coming out next month. And, you know, I feel like what we did was what God called us to do and really what was the right thing, which sometimes in society, doing the right thing is a struggle for some people because it seems like, you know, it's a me culture. So we are very old school. I was in the Army for 8 years, and you were in the Navy for how long?
Well, I was in the Navy for 3 years until I was gotten an accident and was discharged.
Yeah. So he's considered a disabled vet. And as we mentioned earlier, we do have an Army Navy rivalry in our home, and even our children are divided with that. So we came together and fell in love and, you know, became best friends. And, you know, our relationship and thinking is kind of old school a little bit, you know, a little bit traditional values. And I'm originally from California, but we now live in rural Ohio. A lot of folks locally know our story and they'll ask how the heck I ended up here.
I think we should get to the story.
Yeah. And so anyway, that's how we ended up here, and that's how we kind of got together. So going into our story, my husband had kept some contact with his ex-sister-in-law, and she called you one day, and I'll let you share that.
I think it was, August 23rd?
Yeah.
Or 24th?
24th.
August 24th of 2021. My ex-sister-in-law, she called me. I was driving home from work, and she had told me that her sister, which is my ex-wife and the biological mother of my two kids, which we hadn't heard from her in 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, at least.
Probably 3 or 4 years. Unfortunately, she had some addiction issues. And anyway, she called me and she said, "Hey, Serena's not doing very good. She had a baby, or she had COVID. She went in the hospital." We don't know all the details of everything that happened, but she said there was this baby and that the baby was born at 33 weeks. And, they didn't know what was going to, you know, happen with her and everything. She was on life support and everything. So I immediately got off the phone with her, called Christy, and told her, "Hey, that there was a baby," and which I knew as soon as I told her about the baby that we were going to be heading to go try to get custody of that baby.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let you go from here.
Yeah, sure. So yeah, so he called me, and it was just an automatic no-brainer. I think what makes it unique is the fact that it's my ex-husband's wife's baby, and maybe folks would be like, you know, jealous or not want to be any part of that. But for me, that wasn't in my mind. What was in my mind was just this child who was the half-brother to technically my stepkids, but I had already had them for a few years, so they felt like my children. And I felt like it was important for him to be with brother and sister. So we ended up calling the Child Protective Service and letting them know that we would like to take the baby. And initially we thought they were going to do a home check in Ohio. So we actually rushed out and bought all the things you buy when you know, you're going to all of a sudden have a newborn. So, you know, crib and all that. And it turned out that there was still, obviously there was a biological father involved. I don't share too much information about that because it's, you know, it's their business, but I will say that the same person had issues in the past. And, as far as us being concerned that the biological father would step in and get custody wasn't really a concern for us or Child Protective Service. The main thing was the baby's safety. So anyway, change of plans. They said, basically, if you want to adopt him, you have to be in the state of Texas.
Well, we found that out after he was 9 days old. We flew Christy to Texas, and me and the kids, we stayed up here, and then we ended up driving down
probably about a week and a half later.
Yeah, so. About a week, week and a half later. We drove down, and then that's when we figured, well, we're going to be moving down here. So we started finding a place to rent and everything like that. So we had a house of our own, because mm-hmm. she was actually staying with my ex-wife's sister, which is kind of crazy if you think about it, but it actually turned out really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and I said, you know, when I was able to actually take Levi home, I was living at the time until we got into our place with my husband's ex-wife's sister-in-law, planning to adopt his ex-wife's baby. And it probably really would have sounded crazy to other people, but for me personally, in my faith, I felt like that's where God wanted me. You know, the sister had just lost her sister. And I think just being the maternal person I am, it was just nice for us to be there. But going back just a little bit, before we had moved, we had a group of friends that we kind of had a Bible study together, which it didn't turn out to be a Bible study all the time. It turned into a social hour because we ended up talking so much. But we got really close with our neighbors. And most of everybody in the group was actually going through fertility, you know, treatments, or, you know, trying to have a baby. And so, you know, my husband one night says, hey, we should try for one. But we're in our 40s. So we actually made a consultation and spoke to somebody. And, you know, they told us the direction it would take, you know, if I wanted to do that. And it sounded pretty invasive. And I just decided just to kind of pray about it. You know, and God tells us to pray without ceasing. So I was literally praying every night. If it was just God's will, then it'll be God's will. And, you know, I'll accept it, you know, either way. And so I started having these random dreams about this little baby and this little boy. And usually if you have a dream and it's one time, you don't think anything of it. But it was literally about 2 to 3 months that I was sharing, like, having this dream about this little boy, and sometimes he was a baby and sometimes he was a toddler and I was holding his hand. So when Levi was first born, you know, there was still a lot of confusion, as Wes mentioned earlier. We didn't really know what took her in, what was really wrong with her. We didn't know the gender of the baby. We didn't know too much information until a few days later when we found out that Levi indeed was a boy. So when I did go, finally to Texas, and I walked into that NICU, it was pretty emotional for me because, you know, it was a different circumstance that I was walking in to hold a newborn, you know, because I had children of my own. And obviously I delivered a baby, and now I'm walking into a NICU to, you know, somebody's biological baby that was no longer here. So there was a lot of mixed emotions at that time. You know, part of me was extremely sad for this child, that he had really been in the NICU by himself, and, you know, that his biological mom had passed away. And, you know, one thing about me and my husband too, we're just very compassionate, non-judgmental people. We both had parents that had addictions, and luckily we never went down that path. You know, and so regardless of people's choices, you know, our hearts were still, you know, for his ex-wife. And so I walked in and I see this little baby, blonde hair, blue eyed little baby. And he was so tiny because I had had 9 and 10 pound babies. So, you know, seeing this 4 pound baby, and I really, you know, wasn't sure how I was going to feel. Like, how are you supposed to feel? I know a lot of people will say you just walk in and you see a baby, and how can you not immediately love them? And that's my heart. I already loved my stepkids. You know, I love children, but I was walking into a very different circumstance. But the minute I laid eyes on him, I immediately fell in love with him, and my heart just took over. And I felt like this was now my son. And I would pretty much do, and we would do anything, you know, for him, and, you know, to make sure that he was going to stay with us.
One would just feel that the dreams that she was having, you know, here we thought, you know, she would tell me about them. I had this dream again. And, you know, so we're thinking she's going to get pregnant. Mm-hmm. And then, but, you know, God had other plans for us. He didn't, you know, we didn't have one together, but we did have one together. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, so it was kind of really neat. You know, it was a very unexpected adoption. You know, a lot of times people will plan, they'll go on lists, and, you know, they're, you know, the one thing I notice now since sharing our adoption story is you're seeing a lot of folks come forward with adoption trauma. And so I was very nervous a little bit about sharing our story, but we've been fortunate. You know, out of the thousands of comments, there's only a handful of, you know,
I think the worst ones are the ones, you know, they don't actually read the story. Mm-hmm. And then they just assume that it's my son. Mm-hmm. That, you know, so,
or you adopted your stepkid.
Yeah.
But then there's those in the comments that will literally go and defend us and say, mm-hmm, you didn't read the story. And so here we are with this new baby, and he now is actually a ward of the state of Texas. And when they first initially told us, hey, you guys are going to have to get licensed before you adopt him, I had no idea, because I was actually a foster kid myself. So, but I was a foster kid on the other end. I wasn't a foster parent. So the being a foster kid is a different experience than being a foster parent. So I didn't really know what to expect. And, you know, I think back that if they would have told us in the beginning, hey, you know, this is all the things you have to do, I'm really glad that God kept those from us, because I don't know if we would have said, oh my gosh, that's so much, and be overwhelmed and still do it. Of course, now we would do it 10 times over, but it is a lot. We, you know, obviously sold our home and we had to move our children. And for the most part, they were okay with the move. My older son was a little bummed because he's a big football player and he was in the middle of football season. So, but they ended up adjusting, and here we are starting the process of, you know, fostering to adopt. And, you know, things moving there seemed to work out fine. You got a job really quick.
Yeah, everything kind of fell into place, which I'd lived there before. I was there for 15 years before I moved back to Ohio. And so I still knew people in the business that I do. And so I was able to find a job, and kind of it was hard. I mean, everything worked out the way it should have been, I guess you would say, but it was definitely difficult for the all the stuff that they required us to do. I feel that there's so many kids out there that need to be adopted, but they make the hoops you have to jump through pretty.
I wouldn't say difficult. I mean, here's the thing, as a kid who experienced trauma, because I was put into foster care because I had parents that were addicts and that were abusive. And, you know, when you have a child that, you know, has gone through abuse or trauma, the last thing the state wants to do is put a child in a situation where they're going to experience not feel safe. And, you know, you do hear stories of bad, you know, situations of foster parents not being that great. And then you hear, you know, you don't hear as many good stories, because now that we've become foster parents, I know that there's a lot of good people out there that want to open their homes to it. So back to your point, though, is they do make it pretty hard. I felt like it was kind of one thing after another, because we had to do interviews that they do. They call them home checks. So not only did they physically home check your home, you know, all the normal stuff, making sure light sockets are covered and, you know, everything is safe. You have to have fire extinguishers, you know, all that basic stuff. Is then they have to interview you. And one of the interviews I had personally was over 3 hours, which I was a little bit nervous because I didn't know what to really expect. I thought, when I have to get to the part where I'm a foster kid, is that going to hinder their, you know, their thinking of me like, oh, she was a foster kid and she experienced trauma and, you know, all that. But really, it didn't hinder them. They welcomed the experience. And at the end of the day, they just wanted somebody that was safe. And so we had to do those. We had to do fingerprints.
Well, and then they didn't. Well, they said it was going to be, we had to wait a year. We had to wait a year from the time he was born for the rights to be terminated from the biological. And then all of a sudden when that came around, then they said there's, oh, okay, now we got to wait this period. And it just seemed like it just, like she said, one thing right after another. And it just kept delaying it because we couldn't leave. You know, we didn't want to stay in Texas. We wanted to, you know, move back. And so it just kept delaying everything and kind of just really put us in a holding pattern until it was over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And during this time, Wes actually ended up working out of state. So we were in Texas for about 16 months, just about. And he was probably gone at least 13 of those months. So really, it was just me raising these children, including a newborn, working with the state, making sure that, you know, he goes to court dates and takes the classes he needs. You know, I don't think that a lot of the expectations they have are unrealistic about what they put people through to get them licensed. It just seemed like once we thought we were done, something else would come up. You end up having different caseworkers. We probably had about four or five because a few quit and then the case moved to a different county. One of the things that I found the most difficult was every time you took Levi to a doctor's appointment, you had to fill out a 8-page document every time, which was a little bit daunting sometimes because I'm already trying to take care of a newborn and three kids. And then, you know, you got paperwork on top of that. So, and it was just new to us. Most people set out to be foster parents. They know what's expected. And we solely became foster parents to do this adoption. I'm not saying that, you know, maybe I've told Wes that maybe if our boys move out later down the line, we may open our home and foster because we do know that there's so many kids out there. And, you know, we had it a little bit rough when we were in Texas too. We hired two attorneys to help us with our case. We, you know, we wanted to make sure that we covered every bit of basis because, you know, we felt like this was our son, that this was the best interest of the child to remain with us. We did have at one point a lawyer not even show up to court. One didn't listen to us. So, you know, a lot of times people hear the story, but not the details that we're sharing now. I mean, there were some times that I would break down and just cry. It was just really hard. And, you know, but I knew this was God's plan and God's purpose. And that kind of kept us going.
Well, speaking on that, I guess I kind of rewind a little bit. So when my ex actually went into the hospital, she used my last name, which we divorced 5 years prior to that. And that was the first time that she'd ever used my last name. Like even when we were married, she never changed her name or anything like that. But when she went into the hospital, she gave Wertz as her last name and gave the baby already, he had my last name. So, and I feel that was, you know, I feel that she knew she wasn't going to make it, that if she used my last name, that would make it to where we found out about it and that where he would be with his brother and sister. Mm-hmm. And so that was, so the whole time he was in the foster care, he was in there as infant Wertz because she didn't give him a first name, but he had my last name, which mm-hmm. that was kind of, for me, that's what I thought, you know, she knew something wasn't going to make it. And she knew that we would step up and mm-hmm. come and get him.
Yeah. It was like a kind of a little bit of a sign. And yeah. I think, again, we don't know the details of her being admitted or what exactly happened. But we do know that you know, she was inundated pretty quickly, obviously, because she never named him. So they just go based on what the mother's last name, since there was no father named at the time. So, yeah, we had to, you know, even though we call him Levi, he actually had no birth certificate, no Social Security card, no first name. And so we finally went through everything. And just when we think we are at the finish line, the 90 days are up. The state is now being run by another entity, which means the paperwork is going to take longer. So it wasn't until January of this year that we finally got our court date. And we had already decided to move back, and we're actually had a house back in Ohio, since we knew, you know, the adoption would be ending pretty soon. So, you know, we had these both places, and we came here for Christmas thinking we wouldn't have to go back to Texas. And so our lawyer, the baby's lawyer, everybody's trying to work very diligently to get us a court date in January, because then we don't have to go back to Texas. We don't, you know, have to have any more home checks. And we are coming to like the second week of January, and we still don't have a court date. And it was a very stressful time for us. And another little twist to it is, when you become a licensed foster parent, they can pick your, you know, I guess, I don't know, you probably have a license number, randomly, and do a home check. Well, we were selected. The state did a random pick, and our home was selected. And I thought, oh gosh, we have all of our stuff now in Ohio, because we weren't really planning to go back to Texas. Are they going to say anything when the house is empty? And, you know, everybody knew the situation and what the plan was, and everybody, you know, had checked off on everything. But thankfully, the story had the happy ending, and I felt like, you know, God came through once again. And on January 26th of this year, he legally became our son. And I literally ugly cried the entire court hearing.
And it was a Zoom call. We were able to do it from here at our kitchen table with the whole family. Mm-hmm. It was great.
Yeah, it was very emotional. And now he's no longer a nameless boy, and he has a birth certificate and a Social Security card, and he's got a sassy attitude.
he's the boss.
Yeah, he's definitely the boss. And you can definitely tell the difference of having a child in your 30s versus in your 40s. But he is just the light of our heart. I cannot imagine our lives without him. Someday we will obviously tell him he's adopted, which that day, personally, as a mother, I dread a little bit, because I don't want me telling him that to cause him any pain. But at the same time, he'll have brother and sister here, that kind of gone through, in the similar way, just not through the foster care. But, you know, I just want him to know, and people to know, really, that we really fought really hard, even behind the scenes. That's what's not out there, to make sure that he was with us and that he was loved and safe. And, he's just turned two. He's very, very smart. It comes with having older siblings around. He does his ABCs and can count. And he, like he said, he's definitely the boss of the house. He bosses people around. And, he's just been a wonderful addition to our family. The kicker is, he kind of looks like me. Even our baby pictures are similar. So most people, when they meet him, they always say how much he looks like me. So most people don't know, if, you know, we don't say anything, that, that he's adopted. So that's kind of the gist of the story, in a sense. I mean, there's a lot more details, and
They got some questions.
Yeah.
What's really amazing is, I have a really big family, and there's some women in my family. They're very jealous, but in general, there's a lot of women that has a spirit of jealousy, to where, even though if it's a deceased ex-husband's wife, they're like, that's not our problem. So I just want to say, this story is so amazing. and I'm so honored to have you on here to where I had to have it on here because there's so many good stories that get passed up, just like where we started off the show. And there's just so much negative out there. And I know you're saying that, like, your neighbors, they know about your story and you had a lot of, like, positive feedback. Have you guys ever had any negative feedback? Because you know how trolls and shills are. And I seen something on your Instagram the other day where I had to comment on it. But I just want to know, did you guys experience any of that?
In person, never. Nobody has ever said anything, but that's life, right? In real life, nobody will come up to you and say, you know, you believe this, and you know, they don't say anything to your face. You know, everybody hides behind keyboards. But yes, we have seen them. And I thought initially I was going to be like, take it to heart a little bit, because I just try to be very positive. You know, I create a lot of videos on TikTok and they're very random and funny. And, but yeah, one of the biggest things we run into is the headlines. When the story is shared, each headline is different, and it's, you know, sometimes they could be misleading or maybe somebody reads it wrong, but a majority of people say what?
Oh, that basically that it's my son.
Yeah.
And You're adopting your stepson. Whoop-de-doo.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Like, you want a medal? And I'm like, yeah, well, I do want, like, a medal. I would, like, change my whole life. I mean, like, not really. I don't really want a medal, but.
Why, you know, yeah. People are like, why is this news? You know, like, it was on the Daily News and Daily Mail. Yeah. They're like, why is this news? Why is it on here?
Yeah. And they don't, oh, so you adopted your stepson. But that's where those people that are just faithful to the story and say, you know, you didn't read it. Reading is fundamental. And, you know, we've heard comments about our physical appearance before on there. We've heard it was just recently reposted on the Daily Mail's Instagram. And last time it was posted on Instagram, the comments weren't the best comments. But one of them, a couple of people made the comments and that really bothered me. And I know they're just trolls, but they said, like, you know, you stole his wife and his baby. And I thought, you don't.
Oh,
you stole her husband. Yeah, which, I stole her husband and the baby.
That definitely didn't happen. So,
yeah. And I thought, geez, you know, read it. And I normally don't ever comment back for a few reasons, because, you know, I've liked a few people's comments and then they'll immediately, you know, respond. And I'm definitely, I'm glad that our story is being shared, but, you know, I'm not snooty. I'm very down to earth and, you know, I'll respond to anybody, but, you know, you can start getting emails and messages, but I did respond a couple times. But yeah, we've heard, like, you know, why is this a big deal? And I said, well, I mean, I guess if you want to go back to watching war and destruction, you go ahead, but we're just trying to teach compassion and awareness. And, you know, the biggest thing is I discuss a lot of times in my TikTok videos is just to be kind to people. Kindness is just an underrated attribute, you know, with all of our chaos that we have. And I feel like if more people were kind to others and more compassionate, because like you said, there are many jealous women that probably would be like, that's not my problem, you know, and
that goes for men too. I don't know how many men would adopt their ex-wife's baby with another guy. I mean, that's, you know, but there, you know, and there is, you know, there's a lot more to the story, which, you know.
Yeah, I'm writing a book.
Yeah, she is writing a book.
You'll have to have us back when my book comes out. But I go in a little bit more about my life as a foster kid. Sorry, we have this fly that just keeps wanting to get in on us. But you know, I talk about my foster journey, my background, you know, leading up to this, and you know, so there is a lot more in it there. I will say, and I did share it in, I think, one of my video responses. I don't really talk about it because I don't have the right to discuss other people's business, but she did have other children. And we didn't find out about those children until later. They were luckily adopted by a wonderful family. There was two other children and they both went to the same home. You know, I didn't know anything because when you are into the system, you know, your information is private, but I did tell the caseworker, I don't know where they are, if they're in foster care, what's going on, but if they are still in foster care, we would like to take them too.
That way all the siblings would be together.
Yeah, but they were already adopted, and it's not like I was going to say, like, hey, can we have your kids?
Yeah,
you know?
Which they're in a great family. We're actually in contact with them, so all the siblings have actually been together, so which is awesome.
Yeah, and so we'll stay in contact with them. I mean, it's a little different. Usually you have siblings that live together, but unfortunately, you know, when you have addiction issues, you know, one thing I did learn, you know, I thought, you know, that case that we went through was kind of extreme, but talking to caseworkers, there are, unfortunately, because addiction is such a huge issue with people now, that there are a lot of children that have the same mother, different fathers. And one case was a lady that had 9 children that were taken by the state because she just couldn't, you know, kick her addiction. And, you know, it's really sad. It's heartbreaking because, you know, we both came from parents that had addiction, as I mentioned, and addiction is just something that takes away your humanity sometimes. And, you know, you even disregard children because, you know, of this addiction. So, you know, I really hope that, you know, even though we will look down on people with addiction, you know, if there was more compassion towards them, you know, maybe they would be more apt to get help, to be better parents, you know, to want to get their life, you know, better. And maybe that would help our foster care problem, because it's a very big, big problem. And, you know, it's heartbreaking. We actually, before we got licensed, I was scrolling on the Texas state website of children that were available for adoption. And we found a young man who was 17, and I just couldn't get him out of my head. And I remember telling my husband, like, we really have room for one more. And, but unfortunately, because of the holdup and getting licensing, he ended up aging out. You know, we did send him anonymously gifts, and, you know, I hope the best, but as a foster kid myself, I feel like my heart, and eventually maybe I want to do something towards kids that age out of foster care. I went in the military. That was my way of, in my direction. But there are so many kids when they do age out of foster care that end up going into these addictive cycles because they don't have that support. So maybe, you know, once the book comes out or maybe things get going, you know, maybe in the back of my head that's something that's in my heart and kind of a passion for me.
Yes, most definitely. And it explains why the trolls are trying to attack you guys. First of all, God gave you those dreams with that baby boy.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Which all of a sudden you realize, wait a minute, he had a plan the whole time.
Yeah, we believe that 100%.
And since you're doing such a good deed, you already know Satan is going to throw some dark forces. So all that is Satan trying to break that great spirit that's coming from two individuals. And let alone these people are disrespecting two veterans. that's the world we're in today. I mean, but those are dark forces. And it's awesome that you guys keep that strength and spirit. I have a similar story with you two on the parent issues, which it made me and my wife better people growing up in that environment like that. And it really shows what you guys did. It's unbelievable. Like, I loved it. Like, as soon as I saw that article, I'm like, oh my God, wow.
Yeah.
I got to bring him on.
Yeah.
I found out you guys are veterans. That's even better. That's awesome.
Yeah, I think that both of us have very servant hearts, and it's been a love-hate for me. Sometimes I wish God didn't put that in me because I can't say no. You know, I want to help so many people. I am very the caretaker of our home and of people. And just going back to when I lived with the aunt, she would wake up in the morning and was like, oh my gosh, you cleaned my house. And I said, well, you're doing me a favor and letting me stay here with you, you know, but in her mind, I was doing the big favor, but you know, we have to still remain humble. I'm very excited that the story went international, but I think even though we did it, we were just a vessel that said yes to God and didn't second guess his plans. And, you know, I think for me, my faith hasn't been shaken because I've witnessed God's hand in our lives numerous times, from us being together, our story, to things in the past. And once you see that, it's really hard for people to shake, and even Satan to shake my faith, you know, with the devil. Now, maybe years ago when I was still learning to walk in my faith, I did. I mean, in my book, I talk about I was saved when I was a very young age, and then I went through a crazy path. I didn't go down an addictive path, but you can tell when you have trauma, you behave a certain way. And I was seeking things that I was never, that were never going to fill me ever. And the only thing that ever filled me was God's love and God's grace, you know. And, you know, we try to keep that, you know, with us. We're not perfect people. We're not perfect parents. You know, we're at every game. You know, we sometimes still yell at our kids because they're kids. You know, we go in rooms and we say, no, you eat upstairs, throw it away. And then you'll go in a teenager's room and you see a supermarket of, you know, garbage groceries. And so, you know, we really hope that people will look at maybe, you know, seeking into, there's a lot of people, they need a lot of foster parents out there. There's kids that are staying in hotels. You know, it's just sad. But I also think we need to come up with better ways and invest more money in our people here that have addiction issues so they could be more productive, you know, human beings, and take some of the weight off of the system, you know, help give them the tools to be better parents and lighten the load of a very overwhelmed system.
I agree 100%. And you said the magic words, you know, invest in our people. Mm-hmm. We keep hearing how they want to invest in other places. Well, you know, that's fine and dandy, but you can't help your neighbor unless your house is in order. And you hit that right on the head.
Yeah.
And when you do write that book, please let me know. Definitely love to have you back. You are now on this group, so if you want to share your content on here or whatever you want to share, feel free to share it on the wall.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I'm on, well, it's easy. My TikTok's Christy Works, or you can follow me on there. I'm not on Instagram that much, but it's, everything's under my name now. I did finish my book. I'm just kind of drafting through it. So I'm hoping, you know, once I get it to the editing phase, maybe it'll be out early next year sometime. And I'm very excited to share, you know, some things. And my story, you know, is in our story too, not just, I think after I finish my book, I'm probably going to write one about Wes's life, you know.
Yeah, maybe. She's going to help me write a story because I'm not going to do that on my own.
We're different. I have a master's and I work in tech, and my husband's a crane operator. You know, it kind of works out, you know. I'm kind of a little bit more savvy with the computer, and, you know, so we'll work on that. But, you know, there's a lot more tragedy has happened in my life. If most people were to look at me, they would just think I'm a suburban mom and that lived a suburban life. But I'm actually grew up with a Mexican dad and my mom left me. And I grew up in the hood of the Bay Area on welfare. And I decided, you know, and I think maybe that was me accepting the Lord when I was about 14. I want it better of my life. And, you know, I'm really hard on our kids with their grades. And, you know, I said, there's going to be a lot of people that aren't putting, you know, good things into their children or preparing them for the world. But at least I know at the end of the day, when I'm sending our children out, I'm going to want to send the best people that I could possibly have made that are confident, compassionate, and, you know, hardworking.
Wow. You know, and you guys both have to make a book together on the rivalry of the Army and the Navy.
Yeah, we probably could. We could make a kid's book and start them out early or something.
That's right. You know, yeah. Navy's looking good this year, just saying.
Yep.
They got a better record.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. And we're totally different personalities. I might, you know, say, all right, I'm excited for a little bit, but he will brag about it every day of his life for 365 days.
That's right.
There was actually one Christmas that he never gets up early, like ever. I'm usually up early. Something that since I was in boot camp, I don't know what the Navy, I think they sleep in or something. I don't know. When I was in the Army, I'm used to getting up early ever since. But one day he woke up early. It was a few Christmases ago, and the elf was holding a Go Navy sign.
Right.
So it's definitely a fun rivalry in our home. And, you know, we just try to make it fun with the kids and, you know, teach them that there's a healthy rivalry, you know, that's possible.
That's awesome. And I, like I said, I really appreciate you guys coming on. I won't hold you any longer, but we can definitely go into questions if anyone has any.
Yeah.
If anybody would like to speak with Christy and Wesley or have any questions, please press the middle button. Or if any admin would like to speak with Christy and Wesley.
Well, once again, thank you for y'all's service. I appreciate you both. I grew up in a foster home also. And I met my father when I was 54 years old, wow. About 5 years ago. And he never knew about me. Yeah, never knew anything about me. I met my mother when I was 26 years old. Wow. And that was a really traumatic experience for me. But yeah, I appreciate you guys. And I think what you're doing is, there's just no words for it. Aww. So
thank you.
Just thank you for everything. Aww. And much love to both of y'all.
Yeah, thank you for sharing too. It's sad, you know, that kids are put in systems or they have parents with addictions. But, you know, one thing that, you know, I tell a lot of people when I share in my book, you got a choice in life, you know, and you see this world of entitlement and this happened, I can't move forward with my life. Well, at some point in your life, bad things are going to happen to everybody because that's just the way society is. You know, I don't know about the Amish because we live near the Amish. I mean, their stress is probably the crops or, you know, it's a different stress. But unless you're in a bubble, things are going to happen, which actually grow your personality and grow your strength. But, you know, I guess I want to leave that, you know, bad things are going to happen, but they don't have to stay that way. Life does not have to stay that way for you. You can move forward and make better of yourself and for yourself. Even if your parents or other people did not support you, you have to inevitably make your dream and make your, you know, your destination really.
Absolutely. It doesn't look like we got any hands raised. And I don't want to hold you guys too much longer, but I definitely would love to have you back on.
Especially
with your book. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will let you know. And, you know, I'll put my handles on there because I, you know, sometimes make updates and share a little bit more randomly, but I'll keep you posted. And it was just as much of a privilege for us to join. And I really appreciate your podcast and your content and, you know, what you're putting out there as well. And, you know, you have us, and I'll share as much as I can. And thank you for having us again. Yes,
thank you.
Most definitely. And one question
did
just pop up from a member. Diane, you may go ahead. Your mic is in.
Thank you, Mike. I want to thank you both for your service.
Thank you, Diane.
I'm going to try and say this without getting emotional.
Oh, and don't cry, because I will cry. I will. I feel it coming with just hearing you. So,
just your message of hope. Mm-hmm. And the difference that you guys are making. And I think it strengthens all our faith in knowing that all things are truly possible. Mm-hmm. And just your message and what you said about compassion and kindness, and you're right about kindness. It's the little things, it's the simple things that could make a huge difference for somebody. I just want to thank you both and keep pushing. I see that center with you guys in the middle. So keep going.
Yeah.
Thank you again.
Oh, thank you so much.
And Christy and Wesley, you guys have a good night. I really appreciate you guys. And when you can, send me all your links that you would like on this, the link of this show, and I'll put that on the video.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you so much. Thanks for having us. And everybody have a great night.
You as well.
Thank you. Give that baby a big hug.